Good morning, everybody. Shmuel Plotzker coming at you live from my home. Thank God we made it. It was a long, really long drive. We left Baltimore at or around 4 o'clock p.m. and got in at or around 2 o'clock. So it was an extremely long trip. It feels like it never ends as you just go driving and driving. But we made the best time that we could. We did whatever we could. We made some stops. And thank God we got home safe and sound. So thank you, Hashem, for getting us home. And here we are, introduction to Talmud 101. I am not going to be able to attend the CLE class, so let's see how far we can go today, and hopefully we'll make some moves, and we'll get we'll kind of do some ground and cover some ground and push the envelope forward over here on 4B in the tractate Tainus in this our class introduction to Talmud 101. Let's get started. Tainus 4B. We've already seen a seeming contradiction between Rabbi Yehuda. In the one place, he says that until when do we request rain? So Yehuda says until Pesach is over, until Pesach is over. But that would seem to be contradicting what he said elsewhere, where he says that you're supposed to stop asking for rain, stop mentioning rain on the first day of Pesach. And we have a later Mishnah that's going to come up in a page or so, that we request rain until Pesach is over. So which is it? Do we request rain until day one of the holiday of Pesach, or do we continue to request rain until Pesach is over and concluded? That's a difference of, a week. So which is it, Rabbi Yehuda? And we made an effort to reconcile them with Rav Chisda. Ula didn't like it. Ula ultimately said that these are two, conflicting opinions of Rav Yehuda, but they're taught by two different Tanoim. They're brought down in his name, and they are in conflict with each other. That's true, but that's because you've got two individual Tanoim. Each one grabs a Rav Yehuda position and rules in accordance with Rav Yehuda, but they've got different versions of his quote. And that might explain why one says that you pray until, you ask for a rain until day one of the holiday Pesach, and the other one says, no, you keep on mentioning it until Pesach is over. Rabbi Yehuda, well, I mean, we may never know exactly which one is the one and only teaching of Rabbi Yehuda, because we've got two different authorities quoting him. Okay, and each one is taking a different approach through Rabbi Yehuda. That's Ula's theory, and it may win out. Let's go ahead and see what's more to see today. So we're at Rav Yosef Amar, and you know where that is? If you've got the traditional Talmudical text in front of you, then go from the top all the way to the next to last line or so before the lines get wide. Two lines up from where the lines begin to get wide, and there you'll see Rav Yosef Amar. Rav Yosef says, I've got a pshat as to why Rav Yehuda says ABC over here and XYZ over there. Okay, here's my pshat. My Achi Ya'avor HaPesach. He's going to re-examine and reinterpret the wording in that upcoming Mishnah on page 5a, perhaps. Okay? What does it mean when it says Achi Ya'avor HaPesach? What's the meaning of Rabbi Yehuda's statement, says Rabbi Yosef, that Rabbi Yehuda said that you request rain Achi Ya'avor HaPesach until Pesach is over? That's what you would normally translate those words to mean. Achi Ya'avor HaPesach. You keep on asking for rain until Pesach is concluded. That's the Rabbi Yehuda quote over there on page 5a. Okay, so what else could it mean? I mean, those Hebrew words only lend themselves to the following understanding. Achi Ya'avor HaPesach, until Pesach is over, until Pesach has passed over. La'avor means to go over, to pass over. So what else could it mean? And the answer is plenty. Actually, according to Rav Yosef, it could mean something else entirely. Let's see what he says. You know what it means? Achi Ya'avor HaPesach, until Pesach is concluded? Here's what it means. Listen to this. You know, for sheer creativity, Rav Yosef wins today's award for creative reinterpretations of plain and simple Hebrew words. And so he says, you know what it means, that Shiavar Pesach, until Pesach is concluded? Ad Shiavar Shliach Tzibur Rishon, Hayore B'yom Tov Rishon Shel Pesach. It means, that phrase, until Pesach is over, really means, until the first Shliach Tzibur, called Nechazen, the cantor, you know, the one leading the services, until the first cantor, Shliach Tzibur, until the first one to go down to lead the prayers on the first Yom Tov of Pesach. That's how he interprets the words, Ad Shiyavor HaPesach, until the Pesach has passed over. He is now reimagining that phrase to mean until the first chazan, until the first cantor, the first leader of the service is to go down to lead the prayers on the first day of Pesach is over with his prayer. But that's what those three innocent words, Ad Shiyavor HaPesach, until the Pesach is over, it really means until the first chazan to go down to lead the prayers on the first Yom Tov of Pesach is over with his prayer. Now, what does that mean? Now that's going to require some work. So, let's go to the rescue. Rain, which is to say, according to this new interpretation of Rav Yosef, that it means until the first chazan to go down to lead the prayers on the first day of Pesach is concluded, until he's finished with his prayer. That is to say, rain is requested for the last time in the Shacharis of the first day of Pesach. Rain is requested for the last time in Shacharis of the first day of Pesach. This accords with Rabbi Yehuda, excuse me, in our Mishnah, that the mention of rain is stopped at that point. Trying to make some sense out of these conflicting teachings of Rabbi Yehuda. So Rabbi Yosef is making a very gallant, brave effort. He's going to reimagine, understand the words Ad Shiyavor HaPesach, until Pesach is over, to mean until the first Shliach Tzibur, Chazan, who leads services on day one of Pesach is over, when his prayers are done, okay, the Shacharis guy, whoever has Shacharis that morning, when he completes his prayer, then he's the last one to mention rain. And that's going to shtim, that'll reconcile itself very well with our Rabbi Yehuda statement and our Mishnah over here on page 2a, which Mishnah opens up the tractate. And now there's no longer any conflict, because our Rabbi Yehuda and our Mishnah, which opens up the Masechta, had said that you continue to ask for rain, they say, just to make sure we get the actual quote, B'yom Tov HaRishon, over the Fnei HaTeva, Rabbi Yehuda says, over the Fnei HaTeva, the one is in our Mishnah, the one who goes before the Ark to lead prayers, and the Mishnah, the Ark scroll understands him to mean over here, on the last day of the festival, meaning on Shmini Atzeres, Ha'achron Maskir, the latter one mentions Mashiv Ruach, HaRishon Eino Maskir, but the first one does not. Wow, so according to this, according to Rabbi Yosef, how are we supposed to understand it? That we're now talking about the first day of the holiday of Pesach, not the last day, but the first day. And that's going to reconcile itself somehow with Rabbi Yehuda. Okay, so once again, rain is requested for the last time in Shacharis of the first day of Pesach. This accords with Yehuda's statement in our Mishnah that the mention of rain is discontinued at that point. Let's go back to I'm going to read to you the opening of this whole sugya. Rabbi Yehuda says, the one who goes before the ark to lead the prayer services on the first day of Pesach, the first one who leads the Shacharis service, mentions the powers of rain. The last one does not mention the powers of rain. All I can say is, you know what? Let's just continue to read the actual Mishnah on page 2a. B'yom Tov HaRishon Shel Pesach, on the first day of Pesach, HaRishon Maskir. This is in our Mishnah. I'm not making this up. HaRishon Maskir, the first one who leads the Shacharis service, mentions the powers of rain. Bachar Eino Maskir. But the latter one who leads the Musaf service does not mention the powers of rain. B'yom Tov of Rishon Shel Pesach, on the first day of Pesach, the first one who leads Shacharis mentions Mashiv Ruach, but the latter one who does Musaf does not mention the powers of rain, Mashiv Ruach. Okay? And so, remember, we started off by saying, Rabbi Yehuda says, the one who goes before the Ark to lead the prayer services on the first day of Pesach, the first one who leads the Shacharis service mentions the powers of rain. The last one does not mention the powers of rain. That's our Mishnah. And then we contrasted that with the Mishnah that's going to come up on page 5a, where Yehuda says, until when do we request rain? Until Pesach is over. So how does that work? Explicitly in our Mishnah, we acknowledge that Rabbi Yehuda says that we ask for rain, we mention rain, we say Mashiv Ruach in Shacharis, but not in Musaf. And now, how is that going to play against the other Rabbi Yehuda statements in the Mishnah in 5a, where Rabbi Yehuda says you keep on saying Mashiv Ruach until Pesach is concluded? It can't be both. So, like we said a moment ago, you know, Rav Chisda came up with a theory, and Ula shot him down. Now Rav Yosef's coming up with a theory. How do we possibly reconcile them? We go at the words Atchiyavar Pesach in the other Mishnah. Okay, I'm just thinking this out loud. I prepared it a moment ago, but I'm trying to think it out loud with you. Which Rav Chisda, that Rav Yosef is trying to make sense out of Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda said in the other Mishnah on page 5a that rain is requested Ad Shiyavar Pesach until Pesach is over. It does not mean until the festival of Pesach is over. It means until the Chazin who did Shacharis on the first day of Pesach is over. Now, that sounds a little bit gefetched. Okay, that's a little far-fetched. Okay, that's my Yiddish, it's a Yiddish term, far-fetched. It's a little bit out there to twist, I don't want to say twist the words, but to kind of come up with some creative explanation to reconcile. I don't know. I'm not buying it so great. Atchiyavar Pesach until it looks like when you see the words Atchiyavar Pesach, I'm going to try to make sense out of Rav Yosef. In that Mishnah in 5a, where Rabbi Yehuda's quoted as saying, you know when you continue, when is rain requested? Ad sheyavor ha-Pesach, until the Pesach is over, until the Pesach is over. That's how we normally translate it. But that's like first grade translation, according to Rabbi Yosef. The better translation that'll also make some sense out of Rabbi Yehuda is the following. Now watch me. Ad sheyavor, until he or it passes over HaPesach, the Pesach holiday. Now you might say, where are you going with that? And my answer is, watch me again. Ad sheya'avor, until he, so far so good, passes over, here I'm going to add some words, until he concludes, is over with his holiday prayer, asking for mentioning rain, HaPesach, on the Pesach, on the holiday of Pesach. It is the most, once I think about it, it has got to be a really, really creative, kind of separate the words. Ad Shiyavor, now split them up, give some space. Ad Shiyavor, now do what Art Scroll does. Art Scroll, okay, great, thank God, good. Okay, so this is borderline genius. Rav Yosef is asking us to split up the words of Rav Yehuda on page 5a, the Mishnah we'll get to eventually, and reread it and re-understand it. Even though you and I understood it to mean, oh, Atchiyavar Pesach until Pesach is over. And what else could it mean? And you're right, in a way. I mean, what else could it mean? But in the hands of Rav Yosef, it can mean something entirely different. Ad sheya'avor, stop right there, until he concludes his prayers on Shacharis on the first day of HaPesach, the holiday of Pesach. Now, you got to admit, the Academy Award for creating, for re-understanding and creativity goes to Rav Yosef for for this incredible interpretation of Rav Yehuda. I think he gets an award for that. But the more I think about it, the more I say to myself, it's exceptionally creative. I'm not sure that that we're obligated to go in that fashion. But boy, I mean, it's a valiant effort to reconcile Rabbi Yehuda, who says that you stop praying for it on day one, and the Rabbi Yehuda says you stop praying for it on day eight. Rabbi Yosef says, I got an interpretation. Let's make him, instead of understanding it as day eight, Achiyavu HaPesach, until Pesach is over, and you keep on praying for it, mentioning rain until day eight. No. Instead, reimagine life. And reimagine Rabbi Yehuda. And what he means is, until the chazan, Achiyavor, until he passes over, who's he? Well, not the holiday of Pesach, but the chazan. I get that? The cantor, until he concludes his prayers of Shacharis on day one of HaPesach, of the holiday. Now, come on, that's creative. I mean, that's really something. He gets an A. For creativity. And in this way, he's trying to reconcile. So suddenly that mission on page 5A, if you go along with Rav Yosef, does actually shtim. It does reconcile itself with our Mishnah, where Rav Yehuda is quoted as saying that the first one leaves a chakra service on the first day mentions Moshe Baruch. And by most of you don't anymore. Suddenly everything is falling into place. But no, we're going to ask an attack question. Amalei Abaya. Abaya said to Rav Yosef, Sheila b'yomtov mi'ika? Are you kidding? Is this sort of some sort of request we make for rain on Yomtov? But that's what you're saying, that the Baal Shachris is making a request for rain on Yomtov. How could you say that? How could you think that we make a request for rain and then we continue asking for rain through Shachris or the first day of Pesach? You and I know, we all know, we don't make any requests for rain on Yom Tov. And over here, according to the footnotes, it's talking about the same Talmud of Bracha, which is, as we've always said in this shir, embedded halfway through the Shemoneh Esrei, where we thank God for a great year. We hope he continues to bless us with good year, another good year. Mevarach Hashanim. That blessing, which is mamish, like right in the middle of Shemoneh Esrei, that's where the typical classic request for rain always falls. The same bracha, the same talamata of bracha, please send rain in the rainy season for a blessing. That's during the week. We don't ask for that on Yom Tov. There's no bracha of Mevarach Hashanim. May you bless this year like all other good years. We don't ask for that on the holiday. It's a different orientation on the holiday. It's a whole different liturgy. Shemoneh Esrei is altogether different. Not a classic, typical daily Shemoneh Esrei. So what are you talking about? Who? Abaya says to him, are we making a request for rain? Who does that on Yom Tov? Nobody does that on Yom Tov. Now, Rav Yosef, you made us think that the Baal Shachris is like requesting rain. Okay? Rain is requested for the last time in Shachris of the first day of Pesach. And that's going to accord, the original understanding of Rav Yosef is, that's going to make some sense and that'll reconcile with Rabbi Yehuda in our Mishnah, that mentioning of rain is discontinued at that point. So Abaya says to Rabbi Yosef, your request, your theory of asking for rain on the first day of Yom Tov doesn't really wash with reality because we don't ask for rain. Attack question. So Rabbi Yosef is going to defend himself now. Amalei, so Rabbi Yosef answers, Abaya, Ein. Yeah, it is. You're mistaken, Abaya. It is possible for rain to be requested on Yom Tov. Shoel Meturgamon, because the Meturgamon makes a request for rain in his lecture. Who is this mysterious Meturgamon, this translator? What is he all about? What does he do? Who is he and what does he do? Says the footnote, it was customary to employ a Meturgamon, a translator, to translate the Torah reading into the vernacular, which is, of course, Aramaic, and repeat the rabbi's lecture also. The rabbi would give a drasha, and a meturgamon would translate it Either it's easier Aramaic, or maybe the rabbi spoke in Hebrew. And for people who thought that there was no usage of Hebrew in the first century, that's generally not true. I mean, of course, the vernacular was Aramaic, and nobody denies that. But Hebrew was still used by the scholarly elite and maybe by some individuals. Of course, on the street, you're talking Aramaic. You will go into a store, you talk Aramaic. But maybe like today, we speak English among each other. And of course, you can read and write in English. And people understood Aramaic. But if you're going to go into a lecture hall, into a Beis Medrash, the rabbi gives a shiur these days, Yiddish. If you're in Israel, he'll give it in Hebrew. And what if you speak English? Well, you better tape record what he says and then play it back slowly. I had rabbis who did that when they went to the mirror. So there's the language for the average rank and file person. And street Hebrew, let's imagine modern Israeli Hebrew. But you go into a Beit Midrash, then maybe you shouldn't be surprised if you hear Lashon HaKodesh, you know, the classic biblical Hebrew. Imagine that, biblical Hebrew. I'm just trying to make some sense out of what he's saying over here, giving you like a modern-day example. Yiddish is all the rage, even at YU until, 20, 30 years ago. There would be Rabbeim giving shiur in Yiddish. Rabbi Berloff tells me about Rabbi Soloveitchik until the late 50s, and then another rabbi until into the 80s, I think he was giving, 1980s, giving a shiur in Yiddish. And the Mir, Rabbi Nachum Bratzovitz, gave a shiur in Yiddish. So the modern era has maybe some sort of parallel. And so 2,000 years ago, people spoke Aramaic, but if a rabbi got up and spoke biblical Hebrew, he needed a translator. Of course, if you read the Torah, the Bible, literally the biblical Hebrew, par excellence. If you read the Torah out loud on Shabbos morning, you need somebody to translate it. And so somebody was hired who was learned, and he knew how to translate, you know, the Hebrew right into Aramaic, so people understood what God wanted. So over here, according to Rav Yosef, there's going to be a meturgeman. This very individual who translates from the Hebrew into the Aramaic, he'll put in a request for rain. According to Rav Yosef, the meturgeman included a request for rain in his discourse. Maybe when he repeated the rabbi's drasha, he'd throw in, and may the Almighty send us rain. The mayor of Yemenu, amen. I mean, maybe he said that. And that's according to Rav Yosef, that's exactly what's going on. I never would have thought that, but okay, maybe that's exactly what, maybe that was the actual reality. So he's like pointing at reality. Isn't it true that we have somebody who does this in the, you know, today's age? Maybe. Continuing. In the footnote, Rabbi Nachanal explains that a functionary was appointed to pray for those things that the congregation required but could not include in their own prayers. Why? I don't know. They couldn't ask for rain in their own prayers. I mean, say it in Aramaic. I don't know. They could not include in their own prayers. So you need a congregational representative who will do it on behalf of the tzibur, the kehila. According to Rav Yosef, this individual would insert a request for rain in the Maariv and Shachar's prayers of the first day of Pesach. Who knew that? I didn't know it. According to Yosef, that's what was going on. Opening night of Pesach, right? You've slaughtered the carbon Pesach, and you brought it home. And you got people roasting it up, or preparing it, and the Seder table. And then you go back to the shul, or the Beis HaMikdash, and you pray. You say a request for rain in the Maariv davening that opens up the holiday of Pesach. An individual was appointed to pray for those things, and he would insert a request for rain in Maariv. Now, there's no repetition of Shemoneh Esrei at Maariv, but maybe he was the guy who was given the job. Now, remember, you pray for rain tonight. At least you mention rain tonight. A request for rain. According to this, you have to be very careful. A declaration for rain, a request for rain. So according to this, an individual man would be given the job of requesting rain on the Maariv that opens up the holiday of Pesach. And then again in the morning at Shacharis, he had the job. He was this meturgeman guy. But then it would stop. You know, that would be done at Shacharis, a request for rain at Shacharis on the holiday of Pesach, but then that's it. No request for rain after that at all. You don't see it in the Musaf. And in this way, we're going to try to reconcile Rabbi Yehuda. So according to Rabbi Yosef, I think that we can reconcile everything because we have a meturgeman, we have a functionary guy who makes a request for rain in his lecture. So that way, he continues to request rain until Shacharis of the holiday of Pesach. And you thought that nobody's asking for rain on Yom Tov. I tell you, Rabbi Yosef says to Abaya, I tell you, you're wrong. We do indeed ask for rain on Pesach. We do it the Marav, the night before, and then on the first day, we do it at Shacharis, and it's done by a Meturgeman, so there. And that's how you can reconcile Rabbi Yehuda. So Abaya is going to counter that. He says, but does the Meturgeman request something that's not required by the congregation? What does that mean? But does the Meturgeman request something that's not required by the congregation? What could that mean? What's he's attacking Rabbi Yosef again. Another attack question. So let's try to understand it. Says our article, since we stop mentioning rain on the first day of Pesach, it is inappropriate to make a public request for rain at that time. If we're going to stop mentioning rain, if we're going to stop saying Mashiv HaRuach U'morid HaGeshem on the first day of Pesach, because now we want to introduce the summer season in Israel, and we no longer want rain. So according to Abaya, we stop saying Mashiv HaRuach, you make the wind blow, you make the rain fall, that declaration of fact that we've been talking about for the past month. So since we stop mentioning rain on the first day of Pesach, we discontinue saying Mashiv HaRuach on the first day of Pesach, so then it's not correct for us to make a public request for rain. He links them together. If we're not going to be mentioning God's power of sending rain, then it strikes Abaye as odd, wrong, to request rain through this Meturgeman man that Rabbi Yosef is talking about. The Meturgeman is going to ask for stuff. He's going to ask for rain. He's going to make a public request on behalf of the Tzibor in his lecture. Okay, he was appointed for things the congregation required. Says Abaya, the congregation does not require rain anymore. Indeed, we're discontinuing saying Mashiv HaRuach. If we're stopping making a declaration about rain, if we stop saying Mashiv HaRuach, then who are we to simultaneously and counterintuitively keep on asking for rain? If you're stopping the declaration that God sends the rain, so then don't ask for rain. But you want to have it both ways. You want to stop Mashiv HaRuach, where we mention that God brings rain. At the same time, you want us to continue to pray for rain. That's bizarre. They go together like ham and eggs. Didn't we say that? I think that a bias thinking like that, that they have to go together. You can't have one without the other. See the footnote. Even though we continue mentioning rain through Shacharis, so the first day of Pesach, that's only due to technical considerations. There were previous footnotes that go along and try to flesh that out. Fundamentally, we should stop mentioning rain on the day before Pesach. Therefore, a request for rain is considered inappropriate on the first day of Pesach. That's the Rashash. So Abaya, who in his mind, it seems to me, is linking Mashiv HaRuach, this declaration of the power of God to send rain, and we link that together with asking for rain, they have to go together. If you're going to stop Mashiv HaRuach, it is strange to ask for rain. And therefore, Abaya will conclude, I think so will we, for now, even though I'm not going to the CLE, because now it's 1107, Ela Mechavarta Kid'ula. Rather, Abaya here, who has just asked an attack question to Rabbi Yosef, and who apparently won the day, he gets the last word. And he says, Ela Mechavarta Kid'ula. The best way to approach this is with Ula. Ula had said, you know, last time we met on Wednesday, that there are two Tanayim, right? Mentioned it earlier today. There are two Tanayim, and each one is a slightly different version of Rabbi Yehuda. But that would make the most sense, he says. Let's understand the seeming contradiction as sourced in the idea that really two Tanayim are teaching Rabbi Yehuda, and each one has his own version of what Rabbi Yehuda said. Are they in conflict with each other? Yes, they are. What can we do about it? Not much. Because our valiant approach is to try to reconcile Rabbi Yehuda with Rabbi Yehuda, they're falling flat. Let's just simply go along with Ula. Ula said the best way, the correct way to look at this is
two Tanoim. Each one had a teaching of Rabbi Yehuda. It's true that the teachings, dispute one another. That's true, but that's also life itself. One rabbi got a Rabbi Yehuda teaching from his rabbi, and it went one way, and the other, Tana, went the other way. And that's how it can be sometimes. I mean, it's not optimal, but that's not so far-fetched that we should, militate against it. I mean, let's accept it. Two Tanayim, each one taught Rabbi Yehuda's teachings, and one had it go one way, one the other way. The world does not stop spinning if you say that. And that's Ula. Ula says, Abaya says, I like Ula. Ula's approach, there are two Tanayim who teach Rabbi Yehuda. They're in direct conflict with each other. So what? That's the Jewish life that we have. That one learned it or heard it one way and one the other way. Now, of course, it is a little bit problematic, and we'd like to reconcile them if possible. But Abaya says, I'm not losing any sleep tonight. Ula's approach is perfectly reasonable. At the moment, it makes the most sense. And I'm going to stick with Ula. And for the moment, so shall we. Because Abaya knocked down Rav Yosef's approach. And at the moment, Abaya says, we're going to stick with Ula's approach. And that's what we're going to do. Two Tanayim, each one had a different teaching of Rav Yehuda, but that's how it is. So we'll conclude over there for today. God willing, we'll pick it up again, Mitzvah Shem, on Monday. And we'll try again to resolve this seeming contradiction between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yehuda, and at the moment is a contradiction. Ula says it's a contradiction, and the reason why is because you have two Tanayim who heard Rabbi Yehuda two different ways, and each one taught his own way, and there's your contradiction, but that's it. So I'm going, okay, I'm fine with it, but we're going to still try to reconcile them. Rabba's going to try to reconcile them on Monday. So please come on board on Monday as we continue our trek through Tainus. Sometimes you got to slog through Halacha Gemara in order to get to the slightly, I don't know what to say, the more enjoyable or the easier Midrashic material. There's plenty of it. So don't give up on Tainus just yet. Just because we're trying to figure out, where to put Masha Baruch and where not to put Masha Baruch. Come on back on Monday, and with God's help, part of the enjoyment of making a Siyum on a Masechta is knowing that you struggled. You know, it wasn't so easy, but you struggled through the tough parts, and you basked in the glory of the easy parts. So come on back, and we'll do that, God willing, on Monday. We'll struggle through some more tough material until, God willing, until we reach 5A, and there's a new Mishnah over there, and hopefully things will be, a little bit easier for us. Who knows? Who knows what the future will bring, but we know there's a plenty of greater God at St. Titus, and we're going to enjoy every bit of it. So thank you so much, Mitch. Thank you for listening, and I appreciate everything you do for sheer enjoyment, and Jake as well. Thank you both. And everybody, have yourselves a great Shabbos. It's wonderful to be back in Cincinnati, although it's so nice to be in Passaic and Elizabeth, seeing my brother and family and my daughter and my friends, the Rosenbaums. Everybody should be well. And I have a great Shabbos, Kodesh, and enjoy. It's the first Shabbos in Elul. Make the most of it. Increase your Torah study. Increase your enjoyment of the holiday. Have an Onik Shabbos. Pray harder, love more, study more, have a great Shabbos, and God willing, we'll see everybody Sunday morning for Midrash, as usual. We're wrapping up Joseph and his brothers, friends. Wrapping it up very soon. That's right. And then we're going to open up the new year. We'll be doing Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. And if that doesn't intrigue you, nothing does. Nothing will. Then you're brain dead. If you're not interested in seeing how the Midrash deals with Adam and Eve and the serpent and the sin of the Eitz Hadas in the Garden of Eden, you're not alive. Check your pulse. Okay, that's going to be the most incredible stuff ever. I'm sure of it. Haven't seen any of it yet, but I'm sure of it. So come on. Come and join us Sunday morning as we wrap up Joseph and his brothers. Take care and be well, everybody. Zayis Gesund. Have a great Shabbos. Also, Shul Foskar signing off for Gulf Meadows Synagogue and a School of Jewish Studies to SheerEnjoyment.com. Thank you all. Bye-bye now.